time we start recording.
Okay, so we're in Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. So Boaz is singing the praises of Ruth. He's saying, don't tell me you're not worthy. You're worthy. Just, you know, not, you know, due to all the things you went through and your origins, and you rejected all your origins, that gufa, he gufa, that itself is the reason why Boaz is being makar of her. Yishalem Hashem Paleich. God should pay her for her good deeds. Utihim Askritech Shlema. And she should receive a complete reward, Meim Hashem, from Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. Asher Bas, that you came, Lachsais, to find refuge, sanctuary, Tachas Knafav, underneath his wings. The Targum says he's giving her a bracha, that she should get reward in this world. That's Yishalem Hashem Paleich. Your good deeds that you did in this world, you should get rewarded for them in this world. And then it says, Utim Askutek Shlemi, you should get complete reward. That's reward in Olam Haba. Because you came to be Megayer. And bask in the shade of the Shekhinah.
Which was for the
next world? This world is Paleich, Yishalem Hashem Paleich, and Tehi Maskritik Shlema is Elam Haba. Because Shlema means a complete reward, and one only gets a complete reward in Elam Haba. And in that Schus, you're going to get saved from Gehenim, and you're going to get a portion in Gan Eden together with Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. So that's some bracha. That's the Targum. Rav Moshe David Vali adds on the word Shlema, you're going to get a complete reward in Olam Haba. And he adds that Tzaddikim, they are generally afraid that if they get any reward in this world, that's going to deduct from their Shkar in Olam Haba. So Boaz was ensuring her that any reward she gets in this world would not take away from her Shkar in Olam Haba, and she's going to get a complete reward in Olam Haba. Maskritik Shlema is going to be complete. On this pasuk, there's a medrash from the Yalkut Shimoni. Maskritik Shlema, you're going to have a complete reward. He's giving her bracha for Arichas Yamim. She's going to live a very long time. The pasuk says in Malachim, he's giving her bracha that she's going to live a very long time. The pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, Vayasim kisei le'em hamelech, and they placed a throne for the mother of the king.
Where is it?
Malachim Aleph. The Medrash says, Vayasim kisei le'im ha-melech, they placed the throne for the mother of the king. This is not referring to Shlomo HaMelech's mother. It's not referring to Basheva, that was Shlomo's mother. It's a special throne for Rus. And Rus is called the mother of the king because she's the mother of the kingdom of David HaMelech. She's the mother of kings. She's the mother of the kingdom. So the Medrash says that it's not referring to the biological mother of Shlomo who gave birth to him. It's referring to the mother who gave birth to Malchus, who gave birth to Malchus based David. And that's Rus. This is to be found in the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf, Tzadik, Aleph, Amud Beis. So I mean, she lived very long. You know, Shlomo HaMelech was a great, great grandson.
That's
Tzadik, Aleph, Amud Beis. That means that she sat on a throne next to her great-great-grandson Shlomo HaMelech the time she got the bracha. She was 40 years old, which means she had Arichas Yamim, because Boaz was giving her bracha that she should live long. And if she had a throne at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that means she lived a long time. The Medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, says that you see this from the word Maskirtech Shalema. Shalema is the same letters as Shlomo. Tehi Maskirtech, and your reward should be Shlomo. That you should have a great great grandson Shlomo, and you should see him. And you should live to see him.
Wow.
The pasuk ends off that she's finding refuge. She sought refuge under Hashem's wings. What does it mean under Hashem's wings? Rav Moshe David Vali says because there's a special place in this world and in Olam Haba for converts, for Gerim. Hashem has a special relationship with converts in this world. They have no one to look after them. They're not related to their parents. They're not related to their sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles and cousins. They don't get Hanukkah presents and Hanukkah from the Babi and Zaidi. So Hashem has a special relationship in this world. And in Olam Haba, there's a special Olam Haba for Gerim because they're special. And that is seen from the words that she seeks refuge under Hashem's wings, that Hashem has a special aura of protection that he spreads over her. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vatayimer, and she said, Emtza chen be'enecha, I find favor in your eyes. Adoni, my master, ki nichamtani, you've comforted me. V'chi debatu alev shifchasecha, you spoke words that entered my heart. V'anechi lo yeheya ke'acha shifchasecha, and I'm not even one of your maidservants. So you have no prior relationship with me, you don't owe me anything, I'm not a member of your household, and you spoke such kind words to me. The Targum says that she was referring to his assurance that she's going to have a chelek in Olam Haba among the Tzidkanias. And she said, I'm not worthy to have a chelek in Olam Haba like that. I don't consider myself worthy. And you told me I'm going to have one, and that was a source of comfort. Rav Moshe David Vali says that there's a remez here. She said, I'm going to find favor in your eyes, and I'm not like one of your maidservants. That's what she said. Rav Moshe David Vali said that this is a nevuah, this is a prophecy, that she's going to find favor in his eyes, and he's going to marry her, and she's not going to be one of his maidservants, because she's going to be his wife. So she's saying, ultimately, I'm going to find favor in your eyes, and I will not be a maidservant. That's where you read the pasuk. And he comforted her. The Targum says, we said from the Targum that he comforted her that she's going to get a chelek in Olam Haba. There's another Targum called Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason says he comforted her because he paskened that she's mutter to convert and to marry a member of the Jewish nation. So there were two sources of comfort. One is that she's going to be a chelek in Klal Yisrael in this world, and the other that she'll have a chelek in Klal Yisrael for all eternity. And that he's going to marry her.
He said he's just going to marry her?
She told him that she's going to, he's going to marry her.
How does she know that?
She's a prophetess. But Yemel Abayez, Abayez told her, Le'is Eichel, it was mealtime. Geish Yalom, come close hither. Hither. It's a unique source of pleasure when you get to use the word hither. Goshi halom. Halom is hither.
What's Goshi?
Come close. V'achad min alechem, and partake of the bread. V'taval pitek v'chaimitz, and dip your bread in vinegar. I mean, the Targum says, he didn't mean literally to dip the bread in vinegar, that probably doesn't taste too good. But to dip your bread in a cooked item in a top shell that one of the ingredients is vinegar.
Who says this?
Targum. It's just Pashmashach. But Chaimus, the Targum says it wasn't 100% unreconstituted vinegar. It was a top shell. It was a cooked item that was made with vinegar. It was cooked in vinegar. Vatation mitzad ha-kaitzrim, and she sat down by the side of the harvesters, where Yitzpat la-kali, and he extended to her some roasted grain, vataychal, and she ate it, vatispa, and she was satisfied, vataysar, and she had leftovers. Rashi says, why do you give her vinegar? Because that's something which is very beneficial towards warding off heat stroke. If you're out in the fields and you're working in the hot sun, so then vinegar is very, very beneficial.
How long is this after his wife died?
It's not long, because they came in when they were harvesting the barley, and she's going through the field to catch what the harvesters are dropping.
This is the first day you came back to the field after sitting shiva.
Correct.
It's like Bomer. I have no idea.
The Medrash says that he was telling her to come hither. Goy Shalom, come hither. It was referring to the Melucha. Join the royal family. He was being Maramister. He was alluding to her destiny as the mother of kings. So Goy Shalom, come hither. That's the Medrash. Ramesha David Valley tells us what the source is for the Medrash. Like, where do you see in the word Geishi Halom that she's being invited to join the table of the kings of Malchus Beis David? So the Gematria of Halom, Hei Lamed Vav Mem, is 81. Which is the same Gematria as the word Kise. Now, if you remember before, there's a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Vayasam Kisei Le'em HaMelech, that they put a throne for the mother of the kings. So when he said, Geishi Halom, come Halom, he was saying, come to the throne. I mean, if you take the gematria of Halom, come to the throne. So that's the source, you know, that's a source for the Medrash. Rav Moshe David Vali has a kasha, though, because in the pasuk, the word Halom is not spelled Hei Lamed Vav Mem. It's spelled without the Vav. If you look inside, in the Nach.
This is his kasha?
Yes. And he answers his
kasha.
Yes, he answers. Right, he answers because she was not ready yet. She still had to go through a process. She had growth.
It's spelled without a vav?
Hei lamed mem. So there's something missing from the word halom, because the throne is not completed.
She lost the six.
Yeah, but this is not a name. This is a place.
What?
So Goshi Alom, come here. But the significance in this
six.
The same significance that you have in any time you have a letter missing or added. There's always significance.
Are you saying she needs six things? Or
yeah. So Chaim is explaining why the vav is missing, because the number six figures very prominently in Rus, that she had six sons that came from her, six descendants, that they carried in them the spark of Melucha, Mashiach, David HaMelech, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azai.
Mashiach?
We'll start with David HaMelech.
Okay.
Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and Mashiach. And each one of them had six blessed attributes.
Also gave her six grains of barley.
He gave her six grains of barley as a remez. So if the vav is missing from the word halayim, it's because she still had to work on herself. She still had to go through a process until she was mashlim, that part of herself that would have the ability of giving over these six brachas to the six people.
Is that why you also give her six barley grains? So you say, like, you need these six things? Because after this, you come here and then it gives her the food.
It said she sat on the side of the harvesters. Why'd she sit on the side of the harvesters? Could you tell me why she sat on
Sneas?
Sneas.
Who says this?
This is the Alsha. And the mom adds that she was actually invited to sit in the place next to Bias. But that she refused.
Who says that?
Malbim. Boaz. Boaz invited her to sit next to him at the head of the table. And she refused. She didn't feel that was her place.
Yeah.
So she chose to sit by the workers, but up by the side of the workers.
Both are because of spell.
There's a madrash. Tell me when you're ready. Ramosh of Dawud Vali said that's why he gave her roasted kernels, because there's something interesting about roasted kernels of grain. I mean, they roast the kernels in order to sweeten them, and they become roy lachila, and then you can make a hadama. Tyson talks about this instead of shakal. But once it's roasted, you can't grind it up into flour and make bread. It won't form a dough. The roasting process removes the ability of grain becoming flour, which will ultimately become bread. So he gave her something that couldn't be bread. Why? Because she wasn't ready yet. She wasn't ready to be the sustainer of Klal Yisrael. Bread represents mezainis. Bread represents life. And she wasn't ready yet. So he gave her grain, but he gave her a grain that couldn't be bread because the process still has to continue. I mean, there's a reason why the place where Shevet Yehuda lived is called Beit Lechem. It's the bread basket, because that's the sustenance of Klal Yisrael. Rav Moshe Dawud Vali also says that's the reason why she sat on the side of the harvesters. He has an alternate reason why she stood on the side. She sat on the side of the harvesters. He says, wouldn't the pasuk have made more sense or flowed better if it said she sat with the harvesters? When you say that she sat at the side, that means that she was apart from them. It could have said she sat with the harvesters. Sitting by the side of them is mashma, she's aside. She's apart from them. And that's also the same theme, because she's not ready to join Klal Yisrael.
Not with barley also.
Yeah, well, barley is a klolistic thing for all of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Dabar Vali says that's another reason why Bayez gave her vinegar. Besides the beneficial health benefits of vinegar. See, vinegar is evil. Vinegar is a mazik. You don't make a bracha on vinegar unless you mix beet juice in it. Vinegar is not something, it's a mazik. The only time you make a bracha on it is if you dip something in it. Or you mix it with something, that's also gemara and brachas. And he gave her vinegar because he's being meramis to her that she's still not free of her origins. She still has something in her that's not roi lachila, that's not roi to make a... There's still a part of her that's not roi to make a bracha. So he gave her vinegar.
Didn't they need the cruelty, though? Okay, that's what
he did. Yeah, well, you know, she has to master that and bring it towards its out of type. And she hasn't done that yet. So therefore, she needs to dip her bread in vinegar, because she must be aware that she has more to go. So, Ramesh Dabar Vali follows this theme through the whole pasuk.
So she dipped it because she wanted to take a little from it?
Yeah, well, dipping it is combining the bread with the vinegar. So it's making the bad serve the good. That's the concept of dipping bread in vinegar. She left over. The two pshatim, why she left over. The Malbim, she left over. The Malbim says she left over because Bayez gave her a very large portion, and it was too much for her to eat, so she left over. What?
She gave it to Naomi.
She gave it to Naomi. But why'd she leave it over in the first place? She gave it too much.
She gave it to Naomi because she brought home uncooked grains also that would have to be grinded with flour and baked with bread. So before that could be done.
But she gave Naomi two things.
They would need something to eat, so that was.
But the Medrash says that there's another reason why she left over. He gave her a normal portion. It was only enough for one person to eat. And then she'd eat it and she wouldn't bring any home to Nani. Now, if you had a meal somewhere and they give you one portion, you can't bring anything home. But she ate, and as soon as she ate a little bit, she was full. It was a miracle. This happens in Jewish history on numerous occasions. She ate a little bit, and then as soon as she was full, she stopped eating. And then she brought over to Nun. Rav Moshe Dovid Vali comments on the usage of the word vayitzpat. He extended to her. There's a lot of other words we could use to express that. Vayoshit, vayitain, vayitzpat. Vayitzpat is a word which Rashi finds that is the only time in the entire Sefer Tanakh that the word is used. He said the other time you find it in the Mishnah. Rashi brings a Mishnah, Maseches Chagiga. You find it, but this is the only time. Now, this is the only
time. In Tanakh.
Vayitzpat. Rav Moshe David Vali has no riches. Why Vayitzpat is used over here, we're not going to go into that right now. But he says the Rashi Tevis of Vayitzpat, Tzadik, Beis Tes, it's Tzedakah, Bracha, and Tova.
Tzedaka,
Bracha, and Tova. Pasuk Tezvav, Vatakam Lalaket, and she got up to glean. Vayitzav Boaz, as Na'or of Lamer, Boaz commanded his lads. Gambin on Marim, Talakit, let her glean among the bundles. Veloisach Limua, and don't embarrass her. Lotach Limua has the words, has the letters Mem Lamed Chaf in there. And that's. Who says this?
Which word?
Rav Moshe David Vali. Lotach Limua, don't embarrass her. And you can guess why the letters Mem Lamed Chaf are in that word. There's a commentary from the Ben Ish Chai on this pasuk. V'lo sach limua, don't embarrass her. I mean, Boy has already told the workers not to bother her. He already told the workers to let her have free reign in the field. So what is he adding by saying don't embarrass her? I mean, this is a very sensitive sentiment. The Ben Ish Chai said he instructed them, not only should they not yell at her or obstruct her in any way, but they should take great care not to yell at anybody that's in her general vicinity. Because if they yell at others that are in her vicinity, she might mistakenly think they mean her and should be embarrassed. So in the previous psukim, he already dealt with the issue that they shouldn't yell at her. And now he's adding that you shouldn't ever conduct yourself in any manner that she might misconstrue and think that you're embarrassing her. Lo sach limua. Pasuk Tezayin. Vegam shol tasholila. Shel to Shalva means forget. Forget for her. You should intentionally forget. Make believe as if you're forgetting bundles. Shel to Shalva.
Didn't he say that he did that already? That he told them to drop two?
But so these are bundles. Oh, that is bundles. That was Leket, and this is Shikha.
And then she wouldn't be able to take it.
Shol means Shikha. So before he said they should drop two stalks, so that she could pick up two stalks. And now he's saying that they should drop bundles and forget to come back. So he's giving her another present.
Yeah, but how's she going to take them? Would she just return them?
No,
a small bundle that's forgotten behind, you're allowed to take.
Oh,
it's called shikha.
What do the words literally mean?
Oh. Shal means to forget. The word shal means to forget. Mina tzvatim, from the small bundles. Bazavtem, and leave them there. Velikta, and let her glean. Leisigaruba. And don't be aggressive to her. Don't be antagonistic to her. Don't yell at her. There's a remez from the Ben Ish Chai in this pasuk, an amazing remez. He quotes a Gemara in Brachas. Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about the kais shel bracha, the one you make birchas hamazon. You make birchas hamazon on a kais. It's called the kais shel bracha, the cup of birchas hamazon. And you're supposed to hold it with both hands. You're supposed to take it with both hands.
It's about washing it.
And then you're supposed to look at the cup. You're supposed to gaze at the cup. And see the overflowing bracha, the overflowing blessing of the full cup. You fill it to the top, there should be nothing missing. The kaisha bracha, which we bench on, is a simon for the malchus of Mashiach. I mean, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that in the times of the ultimate redemption, in the times of Geula, they're going to have a big Suda. And the Kaisha Bracha is going to be offered to David HaMelech, not to Avram, not to Yitzchak, not to Yaakov. David HaMelech, Avram Avinu had a son Yishmael, Yitzchak had a son Esav, Yaakov married two sisters. I mean, the Gemara disqualifies each and every one of our leaders until we get to David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the one that's honored with the Kaisha Bracha of Birchas HaMazon, of the Sud of Gula. And David HaMelech is the author of the Pasuk. And tell him, Kais Yeshua's Essa, of Hashem Hashem Ekra.
Why him not Mashiach?
That is Mashiach. I mean,
oh, yeah.
David is, yeah, that is Mashiach. David's going to get the Kais Shal Bracha. So Boaz was telling Rus that she is going to be the mother of the dynasty that's ultimately going to lift up the Kais Shal Bracha. How do you see that in this pasuk? Because there's a mitzvah to gaze at the Kais Shel Bracha with both eyes. So if you take the gematria of the if you take the gematria of the word ayin, and then ayin, because there's two eyes, ayin yud nun, and yayin yud yud nun, two eyes and wine. The gematria of the word ayin, ayin yayin, is 330. Ayin yud nun, ayin yud nun, yud yud nun, is 330, which is the gematria of shol. That's the word that this pasuk begins with. Shol to Shailula. Shol. Forget bundles for her. And the word shol is used because the rem is in the word shol for the Kais Shel Bracha.
What's the gematria again?
330. Shol to Shailula. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vatalakad Basada, and she gleaned in the field. Rus gleaned. Ada Orav until the evening. Vatach Bayit Isa Sheli Keita. Vatach Bayit, she beat it. You know, she separated the kernels from the stalk. She threshed. Tachman means literally to beat the grain, because she had a nice amount of grain, and you don't eat the stalks. So she separated them before bringing them home in order to conserve space. Vahike Eifa Sa'arim. It was a measure called Eifa of barley. That's a lot. Yeah. Eifa. Eifa equals 3 saw.
1
Eifa? 1 Eifa is 3 saw. So she gathered 3 saw of barley. The pasuk in Shmais, Perek Zayin. Pasuk Lamed Vav says that there's 10 omers in an eifa. 10 omers equals 1 eifa. What's an omer? An omer is the amount of food that a person would eat in one day. It's the recommended daily allowance of food for one day. So she collected, by gleaning in the fields, enough food for 10 people. That's an amazing amount. She gathered so much that she couldn't even carry it. She couldn't carry. You can't carry the amount of food for 10 people. She couldn't. It was so much. And that's why she had to thresh it, to minimize the load. She gleaned until evening. Why was she gleaning so long? She gleaned until the last minute. Because even though Boaz gave his lads instructions that they should leave large amounts for her, but she didn't take advantage of them, taking them all in one shot, because a poor person is not allowed to take more than two at a time. Then they'd leave two all over the place, so she could have just gathered them all up and gone home, but she wouldn't do that. She took two, and then she checked it out. Is it two? Is it three? And she went very slowly, so even though there was a lot left around for her, it took her a long time to do it, because she wasn't going to take advantage of the generosity of the workers. So that's what the apostle points out, that it took until nighttime for her to do it, because there was a lot, and she did it very gradually, very slowly, according to the law. There's a gematria on the words sa'irim, the barley.
Who said all these things? He said for the Gemara and the about her taking her time.
The thing about taking her time is from a commentary of the Ibn Yahya. Sa'irim barley.
That says a gematria.
The Ben Ishchai. Is the gematria 620? And that's the same gematria as the word keser. Keser is the royal crown.
That was who?
Ben Ishchai. This is from the pasuk. Vatisa, and she carried, Vatava Ir, and she came to the city, Vaterech HaMaisa, and her mother-in-law saw, Isa Sheliketa, everything which she gleaned, Vataitse, and she took it out, Vatitin-law, and she gave her, Isa Sherasiya Misava, that which she left over after she was satisfied.
From eating.
Yeah, so she gave her mother-in-law two things. Number one, she gave her all that she gleaned, and she gave her her leftovers. Rav Shlomo Akub, it says, she came home and her mother-in-law saw what she gleaned. Why doesn't the pasuk say that she showed her mother-in-law what she gleaned? She came home and Nami saw. Rav Shlomo Akub, it says, because she didn't show Nami what she gleaned. She demonstrated her natural tznius, that you don't show off your accomplishments. It was quite an accomplishment to come back with 10, you know, food for 2 people for 5 days. She doesn't have to go back to Boaz's field for 5 days. Enough food for 10 people to eat. She didn't show her. But Nami saw. Nami was able to tell. I mean, it must have been a huge sack. Nami saw. So that's what the pasuk says that Nami saw. I saw another pshat. I saw this in the art scroll, Rus, on this pasuk. The pasuk says, Vatisa, she lifted up her bag, Vatavi, and she came. It has those two acts back to back, without any interruption. It doesn't say that she went and she tore it around and took her time. Vatisa, Vatavi, she picked up and she came. Because she came back with an immediacy. She worked the whole day to earn sustenance for her mother-in-law, and without any delay, immediate, she lifted up her bag and she was there. So it shows a meat of Zrizus. It shows a sense of purpose. Furthermore, the pasuk ends by saying she gave Nami Eis Asher Hisira Misava, that which she left over from her satiation. The art scroll commentary has a third pshat of where this food came from. I mean, if you recall, we said two pshat. The one is he gave her a lot. The other is she ate a little bit and she was full. And there's a third pshat. And this is based on this pasuk. It says she gave her that which was left over from her satiation. Sava is possessive. Why would the pasuk have to say her satiation? Does it make a difference to us whose satiation? It has to identify that it's her satiation. If it would just say that she gave her what was left over, would we be missing out on anything? The pshat in Misava is that she gave up from her satiation, meaning she wasn't satisfied. She gave up. She sacrificed from her satisfaction. Isa Sher Haisira, she left over Misava. She could have been satisfied. She had enough to be satisfied. And she held back. And she wasn't full when she left Bayez, because she wanted to bring some of these fine delicacies to her mother-in-law, Nami. Hesira is that she left over Misava from her satiation. Okay, Mitch Hashem, we'll meet again on Thursday. Yeah, sure.